You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and another Tuesday, another episode with Spencer Schultz. Spencer, how are you?
I'm doing well, considering, so apparently if the Ravens lose, then that means I go undefeated in fantasy and DraftKings. So I had my first ever clean sweep of my DraftKings, which is like a pool of 50 friends. We all put 10 bucks in. I won that. And then also went 3-0 in fantasy. So if that is the silver lining, let's say the Ravens go 11-5, I'm going to make money and watch the Ravens go to the playoffs. So that's my ideal situation.
That's a formula for success right there. But the Ravens, unfortunately, did not have that formula against Patrick Mahomes in this Chiefs offense, giving up 33 points en route to that 33-28 loss. And Spencer, let's just get right into it, because the big story of this game was the fourth down conversions and the two-point conversions that John Harbaugh decided to run. He backed up those decisions in the post-game press conference, saying that the analytics supported them, which they did. There were a bunch of articles and graphics put up out there where the analytics said that the Ravens going for 2 points, especially in that sequence where they were down 11 points, gave them a better chance to win. Do you agree with those decisions?
So my gut reaction was no. I like the aggressiveness on fourth down a lot. And they were 3 of 4 on fourth down. The two-point conversions, so what Harbaugh said was a little bit interesting, and I ended up flip-flopping on this. Initially, I hated the two-point conversions. Then I came full circle after the game and realized the Ravens lost by 5 points. Let's say they went 3 for 3 or 2 of 3 there. They're going to earn an extra 2 points or an extra 3 points. They'll have 31 or 34, which puts them within a field goal or ahead. So with that taken into consideration on the road, I love the aggressiveness. I love the decisions in hindsight. I hate the play calling on the two-point conversions. I thought it was too cute. I didn't like the quarterback sweep. Mark Ingram averaged, I think, 6.7 yards per carry, and I believe Gus Edwards was 6.5. Both of them were well over 6. They were an unstoppable force. The Chiefs had no answer, particularly on the right side of the plays when they were running right behind Yanda, Orlando Brown, Boyle. Give me Pat Ricard. Give me Mark Ingram. Give me Gus Edwards. Put all three of them in the backfield. Bust it up. Score that way. I didn't like the play calling. The one fourth down conversion that the Ravens failed, I think, was a boot. They tried to run it to Hollywood Brown's side. Hollywood Brown is great. He's getting rated very highly by PFF. I think he's awesome. He's also a rookie. Put Willie Snead on that side. He's not going to get shoved into Mark Andrews' lap. He's going to have a little bit more understanding of spacing and situation and levels to routes at this point in time. So I would have liked to see that play not be aimed towards your rookie receiver who sat out training camp. Other than that, though, the decisions themselves were fantastic. I know that PFF anointed Harbaugh as that was the decision of the week, was to go for 2 down by 11. And the reason being that win probability charts will show that missing the extra point only gives you a 1% less chance of winning, whereas making the two-point conversion was a big boost. It almost doubled the Ravens' chances of winning the game. And Harbaugh said, we are playing to win. It was a little bit funky because the very first one seemed like it was actually the Ravens went and kicked the extra point. The Chiefs did something incorrectly, got a penalty, which put it at the 1. And that seemed like it spurred them to go for 2 there. So he sounded very premeditated, but it seems like he got, you know, a little bit addicted to it. Either way, I support it.
Yeah, and I think that him going for these two-point conversions and even on the fourth down calls are just Harbaugh trusting his team and knowing the personnel that he has and knowing the personnel that he's facing. I mean, the Chiefs' offense is probably the most deadly in the league right now. They can put up points in bunches. Mahomes with a flick of the wrist can throw the ball 80 yards, it feels like. And the Ravens knew that they were going to have to score points to win. And you think about it, if the Ravens make all three of those two-point conversions, they win by 1. So the probabilities show that they were good decisions. Gut reactions by Ravens fans, and even me, I probably wasn't the biggest fan at first, and probably a lot of fans weren't as well. But when you kind of take a step back and look at it, yeah, I mean, I support Harbaugh. I like Harbaugh, and I trust his decision-making. Some people who I did not trust the decision-making of yesterday were the officials. This was probably one of the worst officiated games that I've ever seen, and I don't like putting people on blast, but this is a situation where it just didn't make the game fun to watch. There were a lot of big plays, both for the Ravens and the Chiefs, that were called back or that were affected by the officials. Did you see any specific plays, Spencer, that stood out to you that were just wrong calls?
The number one wrong call for me was Matt Judon, illegal use of hands to the face against Blake Bell, the Chiefs' second tight end. I read through the entire rule 12. It's rule 12, and rule 12 is 12 pages on illegal use of hands. There's not one mention of throat or anything other than face mask. Illegal use of the hands, I lost where I had it in front of me, but illegal use of the hands is essentially where an offensive or defensive player uses their hands to, in a violating manner, to impede on the face mask of the opposing player. That didn't happen. Matt Judon got locked out and his hand slid up to his neck. That took a second and 11 and made it a first down, gave the Chiefs 5 yards there. So I thought that was just the wrong call. Then inconsistent calls. So there's two instances where there were four penalties, and it was on two calls, and they went each way each time. So there were two pass interference calls. The first one occurred on the Brandon Carr interception that was called back. So, okay, you're going to call that one. I'm not going to get just into the gist of it yet or into the minutia of it yet. Okay, you called that one. Then how is Seth Roberts not pass interfering when Lamar threw that prayer up to him? How is Tony Jefferson, or what is Tony Jefferson doing there that Seth Roberts wasn't? So how is one such a clear and obvious pass interference? Then the Seth Roberts one, I mean, he extended his hands. He pushed off. That should have been called. Then additionally on that play, the pressure that came that caused Lamar to heave the ball up, Juan Thornhill blitzed and hit Lamar below the knees. So that is supposed to be roughing the passer. If you attack the quarterback below their knees, you're not supposed to wrap up their ankles, their feet, or their knees either. Thornhill did all of that. He hit Lamar low, then he grabbed him by the ankle and didn't give him a safe landing space. Then, I believe it was Chris Jones came up and smacked him. I think the hit was clean as far as timing, like Jones was full speed, but he put all of his weight onto him. So I guess this officiating crew isn't of the body weight issue. So that happened, but then earlier, Pernell McPhee was just rushing the passer and had, Schwartz, the tackle, kind of push him in the back, and McPhee hit Mahomes low. That's the definition of roughing the passer, hitting the quarterback below the knee. That should have been called, and it was. McPhee's was called. Thornhill was not. So there's two instances right there where we see both sides. What that says to me is that the officials were inconsistent throughout the game, and having too much of an impact on their subjectiveness. They didn't have clear-cut, you know, objective things. Another instance was the fumble early on where Anthony Averett missed the ball, and then there was a huge scrum. Mecole Hardman came flying in. Four Ravens came in. And as soon as the pile started, somehow the back judge from over probably about 25-plus feet away immediately declared Chiefs ball. I just want to know how he could see that in a pile of six guys who has clear possession of the ball, considering Averett looked to have fallen right on it, and then a huge pile ensued afterwards. So just too much impact on the game for me. There was a Travis Kelce block in the back that was called that I don't believe should have been the case all the way, considering other blocks like that were made throughout the game. There was also a hold on Chris Board that sent Chris Board flipping in the air because he got held so blatantly on a 20-yard on the LeSean McCoy 25-yard run. So it was just hit and miss and inconsistent. Call all of it or call none of it. They have to be matching. If this is pass interference, so is that. If this is roughing the passer, so is that. And I understand that it's really hard. Refereeing is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. I've done it. My roommate has been a referee for years in different sports. It's a lot harder than everyone on their couch wants to say that it is. But at the same time, be consistent. That's all I ask.
Yeah, and I mean, two things that stood out to me. One, Tavon Young was called for a penalty, and Tavon Young is not currently on the roster. He is sitting at home. He even tweeted out something like, dang, how did I get a penalty? Which, like, yeah, how do you mess that up as officials, you know, not even knowing the number of a penalty you're calling that's impacting the game? And the other one was that horse collar tackle by Matthew Judon on Patrick Mahomes in the red zone, which, yes, it was a horse collar, but that flag came in awfully late. The cameras caught Mahomes pretty much whining to the official, and the official kind of nodding, saying, yeah, okay, and then he threw the flag up. You know, there were all these memes on Twitter, oh, I'll give you a free copy of Madden 20 if you throw that flag. That was a penalty. That was a horse collar tackle. by Judon, but the referees just have to call it as they see it, and sometimes that's not correct. But letting players influence your decisions is something that should not happen, whether it's from a team that you're rooting for or an opposing team. It just should not be in the game. But moving on from that, looking at the snap counts, there were a lot of things to take away from the snap count charts coming out of this week three loss. What did you see that really stuck out to you?
What I saw, and Harbaugh addressed defensively, you know, that he basically said he's disappointed with Tyus Bowser and Tim Williams. Tim Williams has been a little inconsistent. You know, he's gotten a couple pressures. He hasn't gotten home yet. He did, according to Harbaugh, I haven't managed to catch the play. Apparently, he took an inside release to try and get pressure, and it was an outside run, and that gashed the Ravens. Bowser, I don't see how him taking 15 snaps, I don't see how that makes any sense with the lack of pass rush that's been going on. So why is Brandon Williams in all of these passing downs against the Kansas City Chiefs, who, if they run the ball for 200 yards, so be it. I don't care. I don't want Mahomes throwing 400 yards and all these touchdowns and all these blown coverages and all that stuff. Judon did a great job getting pressure. Judon played an outstanding game to me, had a couple penalties, whatever. It happens. It's part of the Matt Judon experience. Got some hits on Mahomes. McPhee really sizzled out in the second half. He played about 60 snaps, and that's too much for McPhee. He's an older guy. He's a heavier guy. You maximize his efficiency in the 35 to 50 snap range and let him get some breathers and come in on third down and hunt a little bit more. So I don't know what Bowser has done poorly. I haven't seen anything, and I also know that PFF has him graded as like the fourth highest Ravens defender overall. So I don't know where he's gotten himself in the doghouse. He has great speed. He can cover a little bit. He, you know, is an okay off-the-ball linebacker. He's not throwing caution to the wind as far as setting the edge. He's playing good contain. So I'm here banging on the table for Bowser to get more snaps for sure.
Going to the offensive side of the ball with Nick Boyle, Patrick Ricard, were there anything with those two players that you saw?
So Nick Boyle is tight end one. He has outsnapped Mark Andrews in every game. They kind of play a little bit of a different position where Boyle is kind of like a fullback into a H-back, and then Mark Andrews is more of a Y where he's in line or he's in the slot. So Boyle's been really impressive to me. He's been getting about 45 snaps per game. He is a good enough blocker to handle a defensive end, and he also looked pretty good in the passing game, especially this game. He got his classic Nick Boyle hurdle in. He's kind of like, you know, Derek Zoolander. He's an ambiturner. He's got one move, one look, and it's a hurdle. He doesn't like to stiff arm. He doesn't like to juke. He likes to jump over you, and whatever the circumstance is, it's just hilarious to me, but thought he played really well. I saw him have a couple really nice cut blocks on the backside to free up some cutback lanes, and very impressed with him. So Ricard as well. I would have liked to see more Patrick Ricard on Sunday. I think that him and Boyle, then Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards, you know, put Hollywood or Boykin or Sneed, run, you know, 13 personnel or 22 personnel with those guys and keep smashing the Chiefs in the mouth, which is crazy to say because the Ravens ran for over 200 yards and had four rushing touchdowns. But Kevin, I feel like you would agree with me. Don't you feel that the Ravens should have run the ball more?
I mean, I have to say, yes, the running game just seemed like it was working for the Ravens. I mean, you look at the stats, and the Ravens had 32 rushes for 203 yards. Conversely, 22 passes for 249. But Mark Ingram was just shredding defense left and right. Gus Edwards was finding holes. And I mean, even Lamar Jackson got in on it too, had that great rushing touchdown. And while the weather wasn't as much of a factor as the pundits and analysts said it was going to be, I mean, when something's working, I think you just have to stick with it. And yes, you can't run the ball on every play, but I think the Ravens are trying to force Lamar into being more of a passer, which is good for his development in some cases. But when you're forcing him to throw into tight coverages, when the defense knows what's coming, I mean, the run game was working and they were gashing the Chiefs. So I think that's exactly right. And the Ravens should have run the ball more.
Yeah, and if you're going to throw the ball, I would have liked to see more RPO. I've only charted the Ravens' first drive so far, which was 11 plays, and that was probably their best drive of the game. That was a great drive, but no RPO. The RPO has kind of not been used as much as I would have thought. And like you said, with the inclement weather, it was coming down, and the ball's slippery. It's tougher to catch, tougher to throw. Run the ball. Keep running the ball. There's no reason Lamar Jackson should be throwing 43 passes on the road. There's just no reason for it, especially in a game where Ingram and Gus Edwards both averaged over 6 yards per carry. It just is not the recipe for success for the Ravens. Use the play actions, the RPOs, and yeah, sure, throw the ball here and there and throw the ball in first down to make it second and manageable, third and manageable. But more ground game, especially on the road in the tough environment, I think would have helped the offense a little bit more.
I 100% agree. We're going to go to break right now, but when we come back, we're going to get into a breakdown of the offense, talk about Lamar, talk about that running game. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. But before we do that, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. For 20% off of your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Also, at the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. And mybookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on the football season, bet with mybookie. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer, where mybookie will double your first deposit when you join. Use promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Welcome back, everybody, to Locked On Ravens. Spencer Schultz still hanging with us here. And Spencer, let's get into the offense. Let's get into the man of the hour and the man of the year, it seems like, Lamar Jackson, 22 of 43 for 267 yards, no touchdowns. This wasn't his best day as a passer, but there were some takeaways. So what did you see out of Lamar?
So it looked like the Ravens had a great game plan, starting a great script. The first couple of games, they have gone with true passing plays, which is not a ball fake of any sort. So no play action, no RPO, and just done, opened up, come out of the gate, just throwing the ball plainly or running the ball. That wasn't the case this week. They used five play actions, three read options on their first drive, and that was great. They mixed it up a little bit, scored a touchdown, took the lead. Then kind of after there, the offense fizzled and had to punt. I would have liked to see more RPO. Jackson, he had a little bit of a different look, which is something hard to quantify. He looked a little bit cautious and maybe tired or not in the zone, that usual laser focus at first. And he ended up getting it together in the second half and had that. I'm not sure. There was a stretch where Lamar threw the ball from the, I believe, second drive through the end of the first half, and he was 6 of 19 after, I think, the opening drive. I don't know why you're throwing 19 passes there. You had a lead. The second drive was, the first two plays were runs by Mark Ingram for 12 yards. It was a 5-yard run, a 7-yard run. Gus Edwards had the 45-yard run that was called back on a very questionable holding call. Then from there, it's first and 17, and three consecutive passing plays were dialed up. And I know it's you know, first and 17, but when you're gashing them like that, keep doing it. The read options were working. I just think Lamar was a little bit gun shy at points. He was holding the ball too long early on and not really within the rhythm and flow of the play. He seemed a little bit too cautious at times, which he didn't turn the ball over, and he actually has not turned the ball over so far in 2019, which is outstanding. So if you're looking at a big picture, Lamar throws for 267 yards, has one touchdown, no turnovers, and the Ravens put up 28 points, that's a good game in Arrowhead. So not his best performance, but he certainly pulled it together. He showed some moxie and some chutzpah to be able to grind it out and get the Ravens in a position to win. And if the defense could have made a stop there at the end, the Ravens would have the ball back with a chance to win it, just like very similar to the wild card game last year, where it was a little bit errant, and then once Lamar kind of started playing some backyard football, things took a turn for the better.
Yeah, and that's just going to come with experience. He's only started 11 total games in the league, and I mean, with the Ravens down 23-6 at halftime in this game with virtually no momentum at all, I think that people were very hard-pressed to find a scenario where the Ravens would come out and put up 28 points and be in the game at the end. And my final score prediction was 35-28 Chiefs, so I was only 2 points off here. And the reason that I said that was because, you know, this game was so hyped up. And it was the Lamar versus Patrick Mahomes show. And, you know, Ravens-Chiefs, could this be an AFC Championship matchup? And I think that Lamar wanted to prove everybody wrong. He's heard the comments. He's heard the criticism. Oh, it's only Miami. It's only Arizona. He had a chance to go out, prove himself against Kansas City. And I think that he wanted that. You can never want something too much. But I think that Lamar maybe just got in his head a little bit. So, I mean, I still think this was not as bad as a performance as people are making it out to be. But overall, he could have hit a few throws in deep stride. He said that in the postgame press conference. But overall, I think Lamar had a so-so day. I'm not saying it was a bad day from Lamar by any stretch, but getting into the running backs, I mean, that was what was working. We just talked about it last segment, Spencer, but I mean, what did you see out of Mark Ingram? Because Mark Ingram in this game had to be the Ravens MVP.
Yeah, Mark Ingram was an absolute juggernaut at times. He was kind of the force, the driving force that kept everything moving for the Ravens, and he absolutely gashed them, gashed the Chiefs on the ground, over 6 yards a carry, running through contact. Mark Ingram and Ezekiel Elliott are really similar players to me. They, one of them might be a little bit of a better athlete, which is probably Zeke, but they're number one and number three in yards after contact over the last 3 years. And I just see that Ingram is a tough cookie, man, and he's going to go get those 15-yard gains. The Ravens ran a ton of zone and outside zone, which allowed some double teams and then getting Boyle to the second level. And the Chiefs linebackers and safeties could not come up and stop Gus Edwards or Mark Ingram. Ingram is doing outstanding. Such a quality, cheap sign by Eric DaCosta so far. He's number five in rushing yards, I believe. He's like top three in yards per carry. Next Gen Stats, run by ESPN, has him as one of the four most efficient runners, which means least amount of wasted motion before hitting the hole. And he's been incredible. I mean, he's breaking tackles left and right. He's good in pass pro. He's a pretty steady receiver. He's been splitting out wide. So a really calming presence for Lamar in the backfield, veteran leadership, someone who's played behind Drew Brees. I couldn't be any more thrilled. And I'm just going to say, my name is Spencer Schultz. Hi, and I'm addicted to watching Mark Ingram flex after he bums through defenders.
And I'm not far behind you, Spencer. I mean, that big boy, no little boy talk. Mark Ingram's just a fun guy to be around in the locker room. I mean, I wish I could be around him. He just seems like such a genuine, fun guy. He brings a lot of energy. And in that dance party that the Ravens had, which, side note, Jalen Ramsey liked on Twitter, I think that Mark Ingram really just provides a sense of energy for the Ravens. And with a young team like that, that's what the Ravens need. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the defense, what happened in the secondary, how the pass rush looked. So stay tuned, and we will be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Locked On Ravens, and we're just going to get right into the defense with Spencer here, and let's really start with the secondary that was pretty disappointing to me this week, especially after Marlon Humphrey came out after that game in Arizona and said, look, we had a few communication issues, we're going to get it down. Earl Thomas came out and said, I'm going to stop all these big plays, and I mean, it just didn't happen. The Ravens allowed Mahomes to just throw all over them to the tune of 374 yards and three touchdowns. What did you see out of the secondary, Spencer?
Saw a lot of miscommunication, and that's the word that keeps coming out of the castle from those guys. We need to work on communication. We need to work on communication. All right, well, it's the regular season. I mean, when's the time? When's that going to get patched up? And, of course, Tavon Young is out, and the Tavon Young injury is only amplified in kind of how much the Ravens miss him with the Jimmy Smith injury, because having two of those guys turn to strength into a weakness quickly, you know, good thing, even though Jimmy Smith's been hurt, he will be back. Good thing they kept him. Good thing that the Ravens and Eric DaCosta invested heavily in secondary, because take another one of these guys away and it's going to be another Maurice Kennedy playing. So I think that Anthony Averett was picked on a little bit. I think that Maurice Kennedy played okay. I think he played a little better than I expected, but still not great. And the safeties seem to kind of be trying to do too much. And Earl Thomas made the big proclamation he's going to put the lid back on the Chiefs offense. And that didn't happen. They had an 83-yard touchdown where Mecole Hardman, who runs a 4-3-1 and is a hell of an athlete, went untouched, 83 yards, uncovered, no help. And, I mean, Tony Jefferson tried to take the blame there, but that doesn't quite make sense because the way that they were lined up, Jefferson was kind of rotating to a single high. Kennedy bit on an underneath route where there was two defenders already in that neighborhood. Why are you worried about the Kansas City Chiefs throwing a 5-yard speed out? That shouldn't be the case. You should be worried about what happens down the field. And that was a huge play. To me, that was the play of the game that kind of showed that the Ravens weren't ready to roll and stop the Chiefs. Coverage needs to be improved. They have another tough matchup this week. Luckily, the Browns' kind of offensive line has been ailing because the Ravens can't get pressure on Baker Mayfield for some reason. Might be another long week next week.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I want to get into next is that pass rush. A few of Mahomes' big throws came off of plays where he had just so much time to throw. Mahomes was only sacked once, and so what did you see out of that pass rush group, and where's room for improvement with that?
I actually like a little bit more from the pass rush what I've seen than people are giving credit for. I think that Judon is a dog. I think he deserves to be paid. The Ravens, I can't see a world where it makes any sense to not re-sign Za'Darius Smith and not re-sign Matt Judon. He has had a sack in each game. He has made an impact or splash play in each game. He hit Mahomes hard. He sets the edge well. Conversely, I kind of got into it earlier, McPhee is playing really well. And PFF does have him graded as, I believe, the highest rated Ravens defender right now. He also is being used too much. He needs a little bit more rest. And like I said, I would like to see some more Tyus Bowser. Patrick Ricard played a few snaps, but the lack of interior pressure is troubling. Against more statuesque quarterbacks, the Tom Brady's of the world the Ravens are going to play this year, and Andy Dalton, I'm a little bit worried about the interior pressure, and it forces the Ravens to have to blitz. It forces the middle of the field to be wide open every single game. It's putting so much pressure on the secondary that is ailing right now, and I don't know why they cut Willie Henry. It doesn't make any sense unless he's about to be suspended or has some serious injury that no one's talking about, but does not make sense to let go of Willie Henry. And the Ravens need to make some adjustments. They need to rotate Judon and McPhee to the inside and be able to create some more pressure up the gut. But from the edge, they've been all right. I think that they probably will still be ranking in the top three or four as far as quarterback hits. But let's be honest here. The Chiefs weren't at full strength. They were missing their starting left tackle. The Chiefs don't have a great offensive line. Their three interior offensive linemen are very poor. They played very poorly, and still the edges were the ones that were generating pressure, and pressure was coming on the blitzes. So I like what I see from the outside pass rush. I hate what I see from the inside pass rush.
I agree. Judon is a guy who just the Ravens need to pay, and I mean, I agree. You can't not pay Za'Darius Smith and let your other good pass rusher walk, especially with also Suggs leaving. It just leaves a void that is very hard to replace within a defense, and with Judon really being one of the guys who's giving the Ravens a lot of pressure along with McPhee. I mean, those are two of your best defenders at the moment, and the Ravens need to be able to pay him. But let's look at the inside linebackers moving to the inside and looking at what you saw from Patrick Owusu and Kenny Young. I know Chris Borah hasn't played a lot this season, but what do you see out of those three guys, and what did you see in the Chiefs game?
I saw that Patrick Owusu was a little bit out of place at times. He kind of had his poorest game so far. He did have a really awesome delayed blitz on the first Chiefs possession and cracked Patrick Mahomes. He's still an enforcer. He still made some good tackles and came, and he plays with a really high motor, but I feel like he was a little bit flustered and out of place at times. Kenny Young played awesome, I thought. I thought Kenny Young did a really strong job scraping over top and in coverage. I was really impressed. I'm happy to see him getting more reps. He had 40 snaps, whereas Chris Borah only had, I believe, 13, something like that, something in the teens. So I thought that Young played well. Owusu left some to be desired. And Chris Borah kind of was more of a non-factor. I didn't see anything yet while I'm looking at tape that was a splash or a negative play. So the inside linebackers left a little bit to be desired, but they're still getting used to this rotation and this unit. And they've gone against an air raid offense the last 2 weeks pretty much, which is very difficult for inside linebackers. They've gone against Travis Kelce and had Kyler Murray spreading the field out. So hopefully they're able to kind of right the ship against the Browns at home, and I anticipate that they will.
And here's the question that Ravens Twitter has begun to ask. Do the Ravens miss C.J. Mosley, Spencer?
No, I don't think they do. He's not the problem is not what C.J. Mosley was good at, which is, you know, getting people lined up a little bit and being a run stuffer. I don't think that $17 million helps more than Earl Thomas and Mark Ingram do.
Yeah, I just think these guys need more time to develop. I mean, Patrick Owusu, Kenny Young, even Chris Borah, they're just young guys. The Ravens are employing a youth movement here. And, you know, with a division crown in, with that division crown taste in the Ravens' mouths and in the Ravens fans' mouths, we're expecting a lot this season from a group that does not have a lot of experience. And while I still do expect the Ravens to win the AFC North this year, I just think that it will come with time and improvement will come with time. Spencer, before I let you go, though, I do want to get a mini preview from you on this Ravens and Browns game. If you could, just briefly, what do you think is going to be the outcome of this game and why?
I believe that the Ravens are a superior ball club right now. The Browns are doing a really poor job with play calling. In dire situations, knowing that the interior offensive line is severely struggling for the Browns, Freddie Kitchens continues to dial up vertical plays that's going to make Baker Mayfield have to hold the ball and survive pressure. Baker Mayfield seems skittish. that was at home on Monday night. So I think that the Ravens are going to amplify that. I think that the Ravens fans will be really fired up and have a crazy environment, as the Ravens can kind of take a pretty legitimate lead in the division. If they're able to go to 3-1, the Browns will be at 1-3. That means that the best case scenario of the teams trying to, you know, catch up to the Ravens would be, if the Ravens do win, that the Bengals, the Browns, and the Steelers are all 1-3 and 2 games back through the first month of the season. So I believe that the Ravens will be able to handle the Browns. I think that the Browns will be able to do well defensively against the Ravens and probably get a little pressure. Their defense has been very impressive, but the Browns are very banged up right now. They seem to be reeling. Their interior offensive line is not going to be able to get any better right now, and Freddie Kitchens has a lot of soul-searching to do in his play calling and game plans in order to beat the Ravens. So I'm predicting a Ravens win. I'll call it 27-17.
That sounds about right, and I mean, what a world that would be if, you know, the Ravens were up 3-1 in the division while everybody else was 1-3. That would give the Ravens a lead that I don't know many people were expecting that. I expected most people thought the Ravens were going to be up in the division at this point, but not like that. So if the Ravens can win against the Browns in Week 4, it really erases most of that Chiefs loss, especially considering the fact that the Chiefs are one of the best teams in the NFL. But Spencer, that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Be sure to follow Spencer at Ravens4Dummies on Twitter. He does a lot of film breakdowns, film analysis, and has great opinions as well. So Spencer, thank you so much for again being on the show.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Kevin. Have a great rest of your day, brother.
You as well. When we get back, we are going to be doing Crossover Wednesday tomorrow with Locked On Browns. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.